All right, wall fans, Common Sensors podcast consumers, welcome to another very exciting edition of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke, and this is episode 125 on this fine March Sunday, coming at you from Los Angeles. As I said at the top of the video feed, it's warming up. Spring is starting to arrive. I can tell because my allergies are flaring up. I don't get them too bad so compared to others, but others are getting them, and we've hit the 70s once again, so it's that time of year, and it's also a little humid because we've had some storms rolling through, so I'm baking in the studio right now, and it's not warm enough to turn on the air conditioning, but it's this crazy adjustment. I realize we will have like 90-degree days very soon, but it's that adjustment when you go from like 50s, low 60s into the 70s, and it's always extra warm for me. I just run hot. I run warm. So I'm going to do my best to not sweat it out here in the studio. All right, as I said, episode 125, and we always kick things off with our social plugs. You can keep up with us during episodes, after episodes, before episodes, whenever you so please. And you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's our official Facebook page. We also have our official YouTube channel, youtube.com/gotellittothewall, or at gotellittothewall. Either one of those will take you directly to our official YouTube channel. And on that note, I actually had something pointed out. Somebody from another channel, and it was actually a good thing. They were using my reporting from a few years ago, which was funny, seeing the lack of stickers on the wall and everything else for a video they were doing regarding a bit of a rant that we did a few years ago. More than a few. I want to say it was from like 2018. So make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're going to keep up to date on all that video content, all that good stuff that you would come to expect from YouTube. And then, of course, my own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, SoCalSean, at SoCalSean. That is if you want to get some good photo content. Lots of stuff coming down the pipes. We've had some recent posts up there. So if you're an Instagram user, make sure you're following my own personal Instagram account. And if you're sending me messages and you have a private account and I don't know who the hell you are, I'm not going to respond to those messages. So just keep that in mind. All right, and of course, more importantly than those things would be our official website, SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That's right, SeanO'RourkeLive.com. You actually find links to those social platforms that I just mentioned, along with exclusive content that doesn't get posted anywhere else, and of course, links to our Patreon campaign, as well as our merch website. So if you want to support us financially, one of those two ways is a great way to do so. So definitely check it out. And even if you're not going to support us, check out Patreon for some other broadcasters, musicians, and artists that you might want to follow and support financially on that platform itself. Don't be afraid of the Patreon. All right, and before we get into our digital trends, and I like to be all-inclusive, but since we have such a large listenership in the UK, that's probably second behind the US here, I want to wish a very happy Mother's Day to everyone in the UK and from the UK that is celebrating Mother's Day today. That's right. For those of you unaware, it is Mother's Day in the UK, and of course, people you know that are from the UK, even if they're in another country, are probably celebrating Mother's Day as well. And I had the typical scare that I get every year, despite it being March. I always see these things because I have so many friends in the UK. You see a lot of Happy Mother's Day, and I always go, oh my God, it's Mother's Day. And no, it's not, because it is Mother's Day is May here in the US. And I always have a little freak out that I haven't called my mother and haven't gotten my wife set up on the good old Mother's Day stuff. So don't have that freak out if you live in the US or you're American, because it is in fact the UK Mother's Day, not actually the US Mother's Day. All right. Let's get into our digital trends. I'm going to be drinking so much water because, like I said, it is warm. I mean, it's not that warm, but it's just warm. And it's funny. I'm looking at and like I said about the allergies. Allergies are kicking up. You can tell spring's coming. I literally just look down and my weather app on my computer is saying it's humid and that there's a lot of pollen. Two things that I just don't do well with. All right. Like I said, digital trends. Hashtag International Women's Day. This actually occurred on Friday, this past Friday, March 8th. I believe it is March 8th every year. I've seen that from my memories because sometimes I post stuff, sometimes I don't. For those of you not aware, it is actually Women's History Month, I believe, or it's Women's Month marches, so it's a good time to celebrate women. And for those that were using that hashtag, it's a lot of people posting and celebrating the women in their lives, you know. So you saw a lot of that. And one cool thing that I did find was ESPN, as I was listening and watching a little bit here and there on Friday, they actually did some all-female broadcast teams for some of the games that were happening on Friday. So that was a good way to celebrate International Women's Day. Now, of course, they could do that throughout the year. It doesn't have to be International Women's Day to do that, but it is a nice touch to celebrate International Women's Day. So so to all our female listeners out there or anybody who's celebrating International Women's Day, shout out to you. We celebrate you. And we're going to move right along. And of course, it's not a holiday unless there's a hashtag. I'm not laughing at the holiday. I'm laughing at there's always a hashtag. Mother's Day rolls around. Hashtag Mother's Day. Father's Day. Hashtag Father's Day. Hashtag Christmas. Like, oh my God, everything's got a hashtag. Speaking of hashtags, hashtag daylight savings time. Oh my, that's why else it's very warm. It's just everybody gets thrown off. For those of you that live in Arizona and Hawaii, you are probably not affected by this. I honestly don't know internationally who uses the daylight savings time. It's definitely something we do here in the U.S. So we basically had an hour of our time sucked away as we laid in bed last night. And actually, as I was awake, I was just kind of falling asleep on the couch, and I look up. I was like, it's only 2 o'clock, but I should go to bed. I mean, that's late for me, but it is a Saturday, so I'm like, you know, unless I'm out at a show or something. And my wife, who's asleep on the couch, she gets up and she goes, oh my God, it's 3:15 or something like that. And I went, oh shit, it is 3:15 because of daylight savings time. And in fact, I got thrown off coming into the studio because I was taking a shower and getting ready, and I looked at the clock on my nightstand, which I hadn't changed yet, and I was like, oh, it's very early. I've got lots of time. And then I looked at my phone and said, oh, no, I just haven't changed that clock yet. It is one of those things. It's completely outdated. I know we've literally voted here in California to get rid of daylight savings time. Arizona does it right. Hawaii does it right. They don't do the daylight savings time thing. So as of this morning, Arizona is actually in a different time zone than California, which is always an odd thing, because whenever I go to Arizona, I'm like, what time of year is it? But it's very outdated, and there's always a struggle, especially for parents, to get kids adjusted. Tomorrow is just going to plain suck, I got to tell you that, because my kid's not going to be fully adjusted, and it's going to be a pain getting her out the door, getting her awake, and all that kind of stuff. And most people feel a little bit off for a few days. In fact, I believe there's statistics that like heart attacks go up the week of daylight savings and accidents and all this kind of stuff. So just be safe out there. It is unfortunately something we have to deal with if you live somewhere that does daylight savings time like I do. And it is a pain in the ass. And hopefully we will abolish it completely. I don't know what even happened. I voted to get rid of it. And I think it passed in California. But it's one of those things that, you know, bureaucracy takes forever to get rid of stuff. But be careful out there. And, you know, blame, I don't even know who to blame. Farmers back in the old days when they didn't have electricity or something like that. I don't care enough to look into it. But it is daylight savings time adjusting day or whatever you want to call it. All right, Kate Middleton. Yes, I don't mean to diminish, but wife of, I'm blanking on his name. She's wife of the prince of, not Harry, the other one, William, Prince William. She's been actually trending on the social platforms for a while now, and apparently she was kind of absent from a lot of royal events, I guess you could say, and then there was rumors that she was having some kind of surgery, and of course the conspiracy theorists came out and they were like, oh, Kate Middleton, she's really sick, or, you know, she's dead, or they're hiding her, or blah, 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 blah. Who knows what the truth is to it? And as you know here at Go Tell It to the Wall, I don't care about the royals. We have emphatically say fuck the king here, as what's his name in Game of Thrones would say. But why do we care? Again, this is very similar to the Diddy thing that we talk. Why are we so upset? Who cares where she is? Why you let the royal family take up your time with conspiracy theories? That's just utterly ridiculous. But if you're interested, you can go and join in the conspiracy theorists as they're posting things all over the social platform like, where's Kate? Hashtag Kate Middleton, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure she's fine. And if she isn't fine, we'll find out eventually. Everyone has the right to their privacy, for Christ's sake. All right, moving along. This one I really like, because we often talk about pranks, these YouTube pranks, these TikTok pranks, and people running around public spaces being assholes and everything else, essentially harassing people. We had that story a few months ago where these guys were trying to harass a guy, and the guy pulled out a gun. And while that is a ridiculous amount of violence, considering the situation, part of me, back then I said it, part of me kind of understood. Like, yeah, these kids are a pain in the ass. And what I've really liked lately is because not only is kids doing pranks and stuff, but there's a big thing with female influencers. They like to run around and ask guys to rate them. There's also this kiss or slap thing. What I don't even fully understand that. And it really brought me down another path of thought. You know, there's a lot of women out there, and you see these videos pop up randomly where they'll, like, flash people riding bikes by them and stuff. And first of all, can you imagine if a guy was doing this, flashing people as they're riding by on bikes in a public space? He would be arrested so fucking quick, it's not even funny. But what I do like is guys have caught on to this, and they're starting to not to ignore the women or give them bad ratings. For example, I've seen a lot of times where they do this kiss or slap thing, and guys are like, I got a girlfriend. I'm not interested in any of this. And then they, like, the female walks off all disappointed. It's like, well, you're bothering someone in public. Why? And then the rating thing, they'll come around and they'll be like, I'll do a spin for you. What would you rate me 1 to 10? You know, as you do, as people do with looks and blah, blah, blah. And they'll be like, oh, you're about a 2. And it's like, yeah, no, you don't need to be harassing people in public. You know, if you really want to do stuff like this, you know, maybe just stand around and let people come up to you instead of getting in people's faces, which is very much what's happening. And I'm glad that people are not dealing with it or not putting up with it, rather, can we just leave people alone? Why? Why do we do this? What, for some clicks and some likes and blah, blah, blah. Just, it's ridiculous. I live in Los Angeles. Good-looking females, dime a dozen here. You're not anything special. So just knock it off. Stop harassing people. Do your own thing. You know, if somebody, you know, if somebody wants to participate, that's fine, but stop bothering people out in public. Like, that was one of my favorites. I did see a viral video, and this guy's sitting there, and the female influencer was just, she was, like, dumbfounded. She goes, how could you not want to kiss or slap me? And the guy just was like, I have a girlfriend. Nope, I'm good. I'm good, thanks, and ignored. And then, of course, she walks away dumbfounded. Which, just, how can you be dumbfounded? You're walking up to people. What do you expect? Not everyone's going to want to play your little games. All right, a little more digital trends here. Musk. Oh, good old Elmo. Actually, I hate that he gets called that, disparaging the name of Elmo, who is a beloved, beloved character. But Musk and his constant misinformation, which has just been ratcheted up, and you know it's going to go crazy, especially leading up to November. And it's absolutely getting out of hand. And luckily, there are people calling him out. But what's been pointed out now is, you know, if you ever go on Twitter, I'm not calling it that new thing ever, you'll notice community notes. And it's fact-checking in real time, which is the one good thing that's going on Twitter these days, is this real-time fact-checking. They call it community notes. And you'll see a note underneath of, like, this video is not accurate, or this video is not actually of this event that is being depicted or trying to be depicted, whatever it might be. And people have pointed out that on Elon Musk's tweets, there will be a community note, and then suddenly that community note disappears. So he is just running rampant as a tyrant all over this platform, spreading misinformation, and then not even tweeting by his own standards, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. So if you see anything coming out of that guy's mouth or keyboard, whatever it might be, 99% of the time it's not true. And the other 1%, if it's true, it's probably useless information. So don't follow Elon Musk. Oh my God. All right, one more thing I want to get into here. It's kind of on a digital trend, but it's more digital communication, I guess. You might have noticed recently, and I noticed it all over Facebook, people posting about it. They did an update to their Messenger, mobile Messenger service, and you have to, like, either add a Google account or add a phone number. I didn't even do a bunch of research on it, but what happened was, and if you might remember years ago when they made it a whole separate app for Messenger, and I was like, I'm not having another app. I'm not doing it. Eventually, I caved and said, okay, and part of that was because I was getting work messages through Facebook and needed to get them. Now they're adding something else. They want more information from me, and I went to start doing it, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this on my phone anymore, and I have a feeling a lot of people kind of did the same thing. And again, don't get me wrong. Maybe it's fine. I don't know. You know, Google's got, like, all of my information. It's just, you know, here, as you just take the information, Google. But it just was an extra step that I didn't want to do. And the funny thing is, you still get the regular messages on your computer. This is just the mobile Messenger app situation. So I have stopped getting messages. And it's funny, I still get notified, but then if I go to click on the Messenger, it wants me to give it more information. I said no. So now if there's anyone out there that's messaging like me personally or the podcast page, know that I can't even look at it until I get to a computer. So I got to be honest, I think I have a bunch of messages stored up on there. That I will eventually get to, but I have to be in front of my computer as opposed to at my phone. Now, Instagram, they didn't change it, which is hilarious. You can still message me on Instagram and I will see it. But Facebook, that's going to be on the computer. And I'm sure there's some other people out there that are going to be doing the same thing. Because it's like, no, I'm not going to give you extra information, store message, whatever it is. I don't even fully understand, but I don't fully care. You want to do it, do it. Facebook has enough of my information. I think they wanted me to put in my phone number. It's like, you literally have my phone number for two-factor authentication. So I'm not going to do this again. It's there. Anyway. All right, let me get a little water. It's still quite warm in the studio. The sun, see, that's the thing. Now the sun's not going to be down for like another half hour or so. So it's not even cooling down just yet. But let's talk some mental health. This one isn't really not fully mental health, but I want to talk about it because I think it's timely and important, and it goes along with things that we talk about quite often from a mental health standpoint. So recently, over the weekend, it might have even been yesterday, Trump was holding a rally, the Orange Menace, and he took some time to make fun of Joe Biden's stutter, his speech impediment, and then continued by making fun of anybody who has a speech impediment. Now, we all know, if you have any common sense, we know that this is not something to make fun of. And I know it's not the same as mental health, but there are some similarities because people feel like it's okay at times to trivialize and or make fun of people that have a disability. And you may say, well, no, it's a silly disability. No, it's not. Plenty of people suffer from this. And in fact, I've had to point out to friends and relatives that started making fun of Biden's stutter as he was, you know, running for president in 2020. And say, you know people that have a stutter, like people that you care about. So don't start making fun of somebody because of a stutter. And it's part of a broad problem, like I said, people making things fun of things that can't be helped. And in Biden's situation, we're talking about somebody who is a career politician. I don't love politicians. You all know that. But he has overcome this and he's able to give speeches to the entire country, to all of Congress, whatever it might be. So if there's a little stutter here and there, who has the right to make fun of that? Nobody. Nobody whatsoever. Nobody at all. We have to make better choices and have compassion. And the other frustrating thing is, you can see in the clip, everyone in his crowd at this rally was cheering him on as he's making fun of people that have a speech impediment. Cheering him on. So he's not only doing this himself and being insensitive himself, but he's encouraging other people to be insensitive. And it's people with influence and power that do this. We've seen this with mental health over the years. It was so stigmatized and everything else. And as soon as people of note started coming out and being open about it, it did get easier and became a better to actually open that discussion and have those discussions. And people saw that they weren't alone. And then would possibly open up more, which I've seen not only from myself, where I now go and yell at a wall about mental health, whereas 20 years ago, I was very, very introverted about it. I did not want to talk about it. Well, if we want to see more stuff like that, you cannot let these people with influence and power get away with making fun of people with disabilities. There's no way, no reason to accept that. We must continue to push back and don't let the ignorance prevail. And that's why we continue to discuss it. That's why we do this. Because as much as mental health has come so far over the last 20 years, it still has a long way to go. You may say, oh, that's so silly, you know. And this goes back to what I've talked about, how people misuse the term OCD. And they say, oh, I'm so OCD today. It's like, no, sir, you are not. Just because you decided to clean your house today didn't make you have obsessive compulsive disorder. That's not how mental illness works. You know, you wouldn't say, oh, my leg is so broken today. Your leg's either fucking broken or it's not. You know, it's utterly ridiculous. So do not let people get away with this. If you know people personally that are doing it, by all means, call them out on it. And we've hit a point where a lot of times I will kind of give in a little bit to the fact that it's ignorance. Those people, I have educated people on not saying like, oh, my OCD is acting up. And once they realize it, they go, okay. But when it comes to a speech impediment, like we learned as kids, you don't make fun of somebody. This is not an issue where somebody is ignorant. We know that that's not right. You don't make fun of somebody that has a disability or a speech impediment, whatever it might be. You just don't do it. And yet here we have somebody who's running for president of the United States of America, getting a crowd cheering as he makes fun of someone with a speech impediment. Let's do better, Wall fans. We absolutely can. And I realize that's not exactly mental health, but they do go, the sentiment goes hand in hand. You can't let anybody do that. you know, whether they have influence or not, nobody should be doing that, and we can't applaud it. And if you're somebody that applauds something like that, you're probably listening to the wrong podcast, if you haven't figured that out by now. All right, let's move on to some positive news. This one's a funky one. This past Tuesday was what's known as Super Tuesday. And it's the Tuesday every year, the primaries and everything. But, of course, this is a bigger one because of the presidential primaries. And the reason I bring this up as a positive thing is because you've heard me really for years rail about the political flyers that come in. And a couple years ago, they decided to start printing them on a thicker cardstock. And of course, they've made them poster sized. I'm looking up, like, they're like these 11 by 17. I'm looking at my concert posters here. They're not really meant for a mailbox. My mailbox, I've had them get stuck in my mailbox over the past couple weeks. There's still a long way to go. The political flyers are not done by any means. They're kind of on a pause right now, but they're going to diminish. And the reason that it's a positive thing Super Tuesday is over is because there's so many candidates for everything that you're getting, you know, 15 flyers a day, as opposed to now moving forward, maybe we're going to get a couple. But for the love of God, stop with the cardstock flyers that don't even fit in a damn mailbox. Like I said, I've opened my mailbox a couple times in the past few weeks, and I can't even pull my actual mail out because there's these giant posters folded in half stuffed in the mailbox. And I don't know about anyone else out there. That's not how I make my decisions on voting. I prefer to read about it, educate myself. So those flyers, when I pull them out of the mailbox, they go straight in the straight in the recycling bin. I was going to say trash can, but no, they get recycled at least. So I'm just happy that's over, and I'm sure a lot of people out there can relate as you've had your mailbox is stuffed to the brim with political flyers. And if you're like me, that doesn't even do any good. You know, in fact, if I get too many and I start noticing the politician, then I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't vote for you. You're sending out entirely too many of these. What are you compensating for? Oh, man. All right, let's move on to some parenting. You know, it's funny. I realized this after we finished recording last week. I skipped an entire segment in the last episode, and that was the parenting segment. I think the pages on my, see, like, I have this notebook, and I know I've shown these black and red notebooks, which is a brand of notebook. I've been using these for, since the beginning of the podcast. I used to use them professionally when I was working in marketing. It was my, kind of my notes Bible, you know. So I think the pages got stuck together, and I just flipped completely past the parenting section. So some of this is actually from last week. Some of it's some new stuff, but either way, let's talk some parenting. So rain and swim class. I was never a big swimmer as a kid. And you know, I got into swimming cause of triathlon years ago. And I was always a, you know, kid. We always had pools growing up. So I knew how to swim, but I was not like a swim in the lane swimmer and stuff. Never really did swimming lessons. My swimming lessons were, my uncle in my grandma's neighbor's pool kind of teaching us how to swim. But of course, nowadays, you know, it's good to have kids learning how to swim. My kid is in swim lessons. So last weekend, I go to take her to her swim lessons at the Rose Bowl Aquatic Center, which is not far from where we live. And it's pouring rain, absolutely pouring rain. And I remember my wife said, like, nope, they don't cancel it for rain. And I was like, okay, I guess so. You know, so we get there and I'm looking, the steam's coming off the pool. So I'm like, all right, the pool's super heated. And I have a friend who's a swimming instructor, and he said, I just tell my kids, you're already wet. If it's raining, it's fine. And all that made perfect sense. And she was perfectly happy, totally comfortable, heated pool. It was all good. The problem was for the parents. They have some bleachers set up there, and there is a very flimsy canopy kind of over the bleachers. And if you've ever been in a torrential downpour with like an easy up or a pop-up tent, you know, rain tends to kind of puddle on certain spots, and then it comes flying at you when the wind picks up or when it finally gets too heavy and then pours down on you. So all of us poor parents, I'm sitting there just soaked to the bone. And I wasn't the only one. We're all sitting there kind of huddled in trying to find dry spots on these bleachers. And then rain just coming at you the entire time. It was quite the experience, I'll tell you. I'm used to, you know, watching professional sports and outside of baseball, kind of playing the rain, you know. And admittedly, I remember in high school, my coach saying, I was like, it's supposed to rain today. Are we still having a track meet? And my coach goes, they don't stop track meets for rain. It's like football and soccer. It's got to be lightning. It's got to be dangerous from that aspect, not so much from the wetness factor. So trust me, I've raced in a lot of rain, and it was just new to me that we swim in rain. And like I said, the poor parents out there, all of us getting soaked. All right, there's a new trend apparently going on, and I want to bring it up in parenting because especially if you have kids of a certain age, it's something to be aware of. There's these things called Zyn, Z-Y-N pouches. They are actually nicotine pouches. Now, they are originally devised for people trying to quit smoking, very much nicotine lozenges, nicotine gum, patches, whatever else kind of products are out there. But of course, kids have jumped on this trend. It's kind of like the new vaping. I put vaping in because you're not actually smoking. But kids are getting hooked on nicotine because it's a trend. And in fact, there are TikTok videos out there with kids using these Zyn nicotine pouches. And like I said, they can be useful for somebody who's trying to quit smoking, for an adult who's trying to quit smoking. The problem is, it's very much like when Juul came out, and suddenly kids who were not smoking real cigarettes, they thought it was safer, and then became addicted to nicotine. It's been a huge thing here in California. They basically banned flavored cartridges, and I think Juul completely got banned. In fact, I was part of like a class action lawsuit against Juul. I don't know if that actually got settled or what, but because I was a Juul user after I quit smoking, I went to that and then to the lozenges. But you know, I always said even then, if you're not trying to quit smoking, don't pick up a Juul, don't pick up a vape, don't do this. We know better nowadays. See, when I was a kid, who's cool and hip, you know, you find a pack of somebody friend gets a pack of cigarettes, y'all go hide and have a cigarette. That's not a good thing to do. Now we know better. That's why I tell people, like, don't even touch a cigarette. It's the hardest thing to quit. Trust me, very much the hardest thing to quit. So be aware out there. Now, I'm sure in California, you probably got to be 21 in California to buy them. There's other states where you have to be 21, I've noticed, but I think there's still some states where you only have to be 18 to buy nicotine products. So just be aware of this, and don't let your kids get addicted to nicotine because of some silly little pouches and some asshole on TikTok who's saying, oh, get you some Zyn nicotine pouches. I get it. For adults, let's not get kids addicted to nicotine. There's no reason. That's not what it's meant for. But of course, these trends happen, and then kids decide, I'm going to try it. I want to be cool like this TikTok person. No, it's not cool, man. Not cool at all. All right, one more thing. Here's another little tip for anyone out there. And I gotta give it up to my wife who found this. And I guess I think I've mentioned this before. My child is absolutely obsessed with plush. We call them plush in the retail industry. A lot of kids call them stuffed animals. You know, she's got a ridiculous amount of stuffed animals. And it was just getting to the point where I can't walk in her room at times and stuff. And she wanted to have like a new chair for her room. So my wife actually found the solution. So you can pick up, and this is in finger quotes for those of you not watching the video, a beanbag chair. And it's actually completely empty. And it's not one of those ones that you get like the styrofoam beads to put in like a beanbag chair would have. It's actually meant to put stuffed animals in it. So you put these stuffies, load it up, and then you can use it as a beanbag chair. And then suddenly, many of the stuffies are contained. Now, of course, this was nowhere near all of the stuffed animals that my kid had, but it took away a bunch of them. So now you can actually walk a little bit in my kid's room, which is that's a positive thing, because between the books and the Barbies and the stuffed animals, there's chaos everywhere. And you can't stop the stuffed animals. You just can't. Even if you stop giving your kids stuffed animals, somebody else going to be giving them stuffed animals. And admittedly, I was like this as a kid. I had a bunk bed, and people are always dumbfounded by this fact, but I rarely slept in the top bunk of my bunk bed because it was full of stuffed animals. It's just absolutely full of stuffed animals. I'd sleep on the bottom bunk, and the top bunk was just full. Like, you could probably get up there, but it's not the most comfortable because you're just laying on stuffed animals. So I get it, but this could be a good solution if you're a parent out there looking to kind of clean up the stuffy situation in your kid's room or in your house, whatever it might be. All right, let's move along to some common sense. This one's actually from last week, but it has evolved since then, so we're going to talk about it this episode. Wendy's, you might have seen this. Social media absolutely blew up. Something leaked that the CEO or somebody high up at Wendy's had mentioned doing dynamic pricing. So basically, look at it this way. The price of a cheeseburger at Wendy's would change throughout the day. So you don't know before going there how much the damn cheeseburger would be. This kind of goes along the lines of Uber and Lyft, how they have this dynamic pricing. Now, with that, I kind of get it. If you're trying to leave the airport when it's super busy, you're obviously going to pay a little more money than going, you know, at like noon on a Wednesday to the mall or the grocery store. You know, it's ridiculous, but it kind of makes sense there. Cheeseburgers, not so much. So, of course, everyone lost their minds on the social platforms. And then, of course, Wendy's had to come out like 2 days later and backtrack on it and say, no, we are not going to implement any kind of dynamic pricing. I will say the memes were kind of brilliant. There's the one that I really enjoyed. That was like just a Wendy's parking lot sign. And somebody was like, well, I'm just waiting for the cheap, bacon cheeseburger or whatever it was. It was just so funny because I can imagine people sitting out there watching it like it's a stock ticker. Like, oh, no, now it's cheap. Let's go in there and get it, you know. But obviously that would not have done well for them, and they backtracked on it. And on top of that, I've actually noticed an ad campaign that they have put out, you know, because all these fast food joints, they have an app now. They're trying to push you to order on the app, and that's fine. I'll admit, I use it on occasion because you get little points back and stuff, and they'll have deals on there that you're not going to get anywhere else. Well, with Wendy's, they have like a dollar cheeseburger and a dollar double cheeseburger now if you order through the app, and this is clearly them kind of trying to not backtracking, but get out of that bad press realm that they're in now by hinting at possibly implementing dynamic pricing for a fucking cheeseburger. Cheeseburger. Come on now. I mean, fast food's gotten ridiculously expensive as it is. It doesn't need dynamic pricing. I mean, I come from the days of like Burger King and McDonald's on like one day of the week, they do 29-cent hamburgers and 39-cent cheeseburgers, taking it back to the original prices. And then thank God for, like, the value menu when I was going through film school, because you could go get, like, a double cheeseburger, a chicken sandwich, whatever it might be, for, like, $1. Now those same sandwiches are, like, $4. So we don't need to add dynamic pricing on top of all that stuff, because it's already crazy enough as it is. All right, this was originally a story from a couple months ago, but it popped up kind of on my radar recently because I experienced a bit of it. Apparently, back in January, there was a hack of Microsoft by somebody in Russia. So you could say the Russians hacked. I don't know that it's the Russian government. I mean, they're doing lots of shady shit. So who knows? It could be, but I'm not going to sit here and blame the Russian government. But it was a hack that came out of Russia of Microsoft, and they were able to pull some code and blah, blah, blah. I'm sure they got some personal information. So you should always be very vigilant, you know, checking your credit card bills, checking your social platforms, whatever, you know, your email, make sure. That kind of stuff. And it happened to me the other day as somebody was posing as one of my coworkers at the agency, and they were like, can we chat on this email? And I was like, that's weird. Like, why didn't you just call or text me? You know, it was like, I'm busy right now. And I was like, this doesn't seem like something I would get from him. And so I go to look at it, and sure enough, it's like not his email address. Not like our agency address email. And on top of that, it was a Russian email address. And they were posing as my coworker with the agency. And I immediately texted, you know, very small agency, basically texted the entire agency, the ones that needed to know. I said, watch out for your emails because I just got one of these. And it's like, oh, no. And I was like, I think pretty sure it's safe. It's nobody's hacked our email. It's just they're trying to get me to do something here, phishing, whatever it might be. And for those of you not aware of phishing, P-H-I-S-H, you know, phishing, and they're trying to get info from you. It's a thing that's been around for a while. And it reminded me, just never click on things that you don't know, you know. And so many email services are actually great about this. Like on Outlook, a lot of times if you go to click on an attachment, it's like, are you sure you want to click on this? Is it safe? And I'm like, dude, it's from my creative director. Like, yes, I need to click on this. But it's better safe than sorry, and just watch out for those links. Especially on Twitter. Twitter is such a hellscape, but even on any social platform. And if you're getting an email, always look at the email address. These scams have existed forever where it's like PayPal. Oh, your PayPal account has been locked. Click this link to unlock. All you got to do is look at the actual email. And if it's not a PayPal email, you know, or it might be like, PayPal.org or PayPal.ru, you know, Russia. It like just depends. But just be diligent. Don't click on those things because there's people out there looking to get your information. People out there looking to mess with you. And people out there that are just could just be bots and they're trying to pull information from you. So just be vigilant. And if you're a Microsoft user, know that there was that hack back in January. I use Microsoft. I've not noticed anything outside of that funky email. But just be vigilant and know what you are clicking on. You know, you don't want a virus. I mean, it's something simple as a virus. something as crazy as identity theft. All these are things that can happen, on digital platforms. Be wary of that. All right, one more thing, then we're going to move on to entertainment news. This one kind of straddles entertainment news. Let me give a little background. It is Oscar Sunday. I believe the Oscars are happening right now. I was getting breaking news, people winning certain Academy Awards and stuff, and I haven't watched the Oscars for years. You know, I used to have to. I was in film school. It was essentially homework when I was in film school. And then when we're marketing at Disney, it was, you know, for those of you not aware, the Oscars are on ABC. ABC is owned by Disney. Kind of had to do it from a marketing standpoint when I was doing that. But really, part of it lost me when Eminem won an Academy Award. Love Eminem. But it was a horrible movie. Great song. Probably didn't deserve an Academy Award. And then there was an instance. I am recording in Los Angeles, so I'm not going to get certain fans on me. But a few years ago, a certain instance where they gave an Academy Award to somebody that probably didn't deserve to have an Academy Award. And I'm not saying because their project was not up to snuff, but more because of their background. So I don't watch the Oscars. You know, if you want to watch the Oscars, that's great. By all means, it's just not for me. But they are happening tonight. And I know a lot of people treat it like the Super Bowl, you know, snacks and theme stuff. And by all means, do that. It's just not for me. It's so political. And this year was one of the years where I was like, well, maybe I will watch one award because the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that was written and directed by Seth Rogen was, I believe, up for Best Animated Feature. I already got breaking news that it didn't win. So I was like, well, now I have zero interest. I kind of want to see Seth Rogen win an Academy Award. That would have been fantastic because the movie's fantastic from what I've heard. Still haven't watched it. Got the Blu-ray sitting by my TV. But it's on my list. Just got to find the time to do these things. But from a common sense standpoint, they've been clashing with protesters down there in Hollywood where the Academy Awards, the Oscars, the Academy Awards occur. And it's a bunch of pro-Palestinian protesters who are out there for obvious reasons, calling out celebrities and Hollywood for the general hypocrisy of not speaking out against Israel and in favor of Palestine and what's happening. I've talked about this. I went on a rant a couple episodes ago, and I'm still getting messages, and it's like, for God's sake, if you're going to send me messages, at least listen to the shit that I talk about to know where I stand on it. I'm probably going to have to put out that clip. You know where I stand on it. Kids shouldn't be killed. We're murdering children. We're seeing a genocide unfold right in front of our very eyes. So I don't want to get into politics of Israel and Palestine and everything else. It's just wrong what's happening. And we have a lot of people in Hollywood and politicians, I mean, on both sides of the aisle, who they say they're pro-Israel and it's anti-Semitic to be against what Israel's doing. And it's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. I am not anti-Semitic. I just don't think kids should be, that bombs should be dropped on kids, that we should just open fire on families and innocent people that have nothing to do with any kind of terrorist attack. So I stand with those protesters down there in Hollywood. And of course, you know, this is always the fucking case. When we were having the rampant protests, you know, back in 2020, the Black Lives Matter protests and everything else, and, you know, Beverly Hills, you don't set foot in Beverly Hills when those protests were going on. Extra police sent there, not sent to South LA. And it's the same thing. They're protecting these celebrities. We're all obsessed with the Academy Awards, watching rich people go collect a gold statue and talk about themselves for 2 minutes. It's utterly ridiculous. All while we have children in Palestine being murdered. They have every right to protest there. And of course, they put out a disperse order and all this stuff and riot gear, police and riot gear and everything else. And it's just like, holy shit, man. People have a right to protest. It is what this country was built on. And just because it's ruining your silly little fucking red carpet doesn't mean people need to be kicked out of there. You don't need to send riot police. In fact, from everything I've seen, it was quite peaceful. They were just upset that the red carpet for the Oscars was getting ruined. Fuck your Oscars. As far as I'm concerned, what's more important? Kids or silly gold statues? Spoiler alert, the kids are more important. All right, let's talk some entertainment news, and we're going to wrap up episode 125 of Common Sense Sundays. I've been consistent with this one. The listening to segment and entertainment news. And for this one, lately I've been listening to a band called Odd Robot. They've actually been around for quite a while. They were on a bit of a hiatus and kind of playing shows here and there. And recently, in fact, in December, I believe, is November or December. I can't remember exactly. They did release a new album. I've known of them. I've listened to them a little bit, but it wasn't until I saw them live back in December. Really enjoyed it. They were fantastic. I came home, purchased a couple of their albums digitally, which is what I tend to do because I don't have room for physical media. And their most recent album is Amnesiatic. Yes. Came out in December by Odd Robot. Highly recommend checking them out. They are like a pop punk ska feel to them. They're fantastic. And in fact, I think last episode I was actually wearing them. I've not been planning out my t-shirts as well, because I think last episode I was wearing my Odd Robot t-shirt, which I should have been wearing it when I'm talking about listening to Odd Robot. But make sure you check them out. I'm sure they're on Spotify and all those. I would imagine they have a Bandcamp. They're definitely available for purchase on iTunes. That's where I purchase my music. And it's also available on YouTube Music, because that's where I listen to my music after I pull it from iTunes. Definitely worth a listen. Check out Odd Robot. And like I said, specifically their most recent album, Amnesiatic, that came out in December. They got a couple albums. All of it's great music, but I've thoroughly been enjoying their most recent album. And highly recommend them, you know, depending on your taste in music. If it's not for you, it's fine, but like I said, kind of pop punk with a little ska feel, fantastic band. Definitely worth checking out. All right, this is funny. I said this to my wife the other day. I think it was like February 29th, and it was even an extra day this year. I didn't go to a single show in February, which was quite odd, because the last February I didn't go to a single show was February 2021, when there was no shows. So you could say, well, that's only a couple years ago. And it's like, yeah, but then before that, I was at shows. I was at a show in February of 2020, a couple weeks before the world shut down. So it was very odd. And I was like, I guess. And there were some shows that popped up, but I've just been busy with other stuff and everything. And but I was looking at my calendar, and it's like, okay, now it's ramping up. So next weekend, for those of you who aren't aware, they've got a little shindig called Shamrock Rebellion happening down there. It's Oak Canyon Park in Silverado, California, which is Orange County. I will be heading out to that on Saturday. It's one of those brouhaha shows that they put on with a little beer tasting. Flogging Molly is playing. Frank Turner is playing. The Buzzcocks are playing. Face to Face, which is who I'm most excited about. I've seen them a lot recently. Not a lot. I've seen them a couple times recently, but I always really enjoy Face to Face. I'm not the biggest Frank Turner fan, but it'll be fun to see him. And then, of course, a bunch of friends are coming in town. Punk Rock Saves Lives will be there. Cali Vibes. Records will be there and all those great vendors. So if you are running around Shamrock Rebellion, look for the tall guy with the beard and the purple hair. I will have some stickers and I can throw them your way. Get a handshake, maybe a hug if I know you. If I don't know you, you know, it's tougher to... I'm a hugger, but I tend to not hug strangers. I don't know what it is. And it's funny because I am a hugger despite being a germaphobe. I don't know how that works either. Anyway, so that's Saturday. And then Sunday... is Give Me Motion. I've talked about Give Me Motion quite a bit in the past on this podcast. It's actually my brother-in-law, Dante, his band. He's playing with a full band at Hotel Cafe there in Hollywood on Sunday, March 17th. I will be out there supporting him as well as shooting some photos. I told him I'd bring the camera out and get some good shots for him. And there's tickets still available for that as well. So if you're in the Southern California area, I'm not a huge fan of Hotel Cafe. The venue's fine. But as you know, I just don't love going to Hollywood in general. But he is playing there. I'll be out there. And if you're interested in some you know, pop music, singer-songwriter, but with a punk ska feel, again, his background is definitely punk and ska, then definitely come out and check out Gimme Motion at Hotel Cafe on Sunday, March 17th. I realize that it's St. Patty's Day, but, you know, go drink green beer or go see a good show. Go to the good show. Green beer is terrible. Not good for you. All right, last thing, and then we're going to wrap up episode 125. I feel like they took February off, and that's why we didn't talk about it in February, but the most recent Basis Against Racist design is now up for pre-order, and it features Georgia Davies of The Last Dinner Party. The band is The Last Dinner Party, and it's the bassist Georgia Davies. That is the March 2024 Basis Against Racist design. It's up for pre-order. As I always say, you got to pre-order it during the month. You won't be able to get it after the end of March. So get on that if you want to pick up that newest design. And if you're picking it up here in the United States and Canada, I need to ask. I do this every time. I think Gabby ships to Canada, but I'm not sure. But if you're in the U.S., North America, you're going to be ordering that through Chaos Merch, K-A-O-S, Chaos Merch. who will be taking the pre-orders. And then if you're in Europe, you're going to order that through TMOM merch, T-M-O-M merch. Those are your two providers of the actual Basis Against Racists t-shirts. And of course, that is designed by the uber talented Paul Smith of Zombie Teeth Clothing. And this is all inspired by the idea of the great Lin Lee of Bad Cop, who came up with this idea years ago. And now that they're like, I'm 3 years in doing this almost monthly. They've skipped a month here and there. Like I said, I think February there was no new design. A little busy out there because everybody's doing tons of stuff. I mean, Gabby's doing this. She's got a merch company, and then she's also touring with the Venomous Pinks. Paul Smith, this is like one of his part-time things where he's designing t-shirts in addition to his regular profession, as well as his photography and designing albums and flyers for other bands and stuff. So, they get a little busy, but now they are back to it with this March design. Again, Georgia Davies of The Last Dinner Party. So get those orders in before the end of March, and there should be a new design coming up for April as well, and we'll talk about that design when we get to April. Yeah. All right, Wall fans. It's finally cooling off in my studio. The sun's going down. This daylight saving is going to throw me off for probably like a full week. But we got to wrap it up. I got to go eat some dinner. It is Sunday, and I know everyone's getting prepared for the week. And just a heads up, we probably will not record next Sunday. We'll see. It's St. Patty. I got stuff during the day for St. Patty's Day, and then I got that show at night, so we might push to Monday. We'll see. I'll keep everyone updated through the social platforms, but just keep in mind, we'll probably not be in here on Sunday because it's a busy weekend for me personally next weekend. All right. Like I said, that's going to do it for episode 125 of Common Sense Sundays. In the meantime, don't forget to follow us on the social platforms, facebook.com/GoTellItToTheWall, youtube.com/GoTellItToTheWall, or @GoTellItToTheWall. My own personal Instagram account, which is @SoCalSean, SoCalSean, @SoCalSean. And of course, make sure you bookmark SeanO'RourkeLive.com, where you're going to find all kinds of exclusive content, as well as links to our Patreon campaign and our merch website if you want to support us financially. Oh, man. That was a mouthful. It always is. I get out of breath when I'm doing the social plugs. That's just how it is. All right. So, like I said, we might be back next week. Might not be. Just keep updated on those social platforms. This has been episode 125 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. And remember, Wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, no matter where you're going, especially no matter why you aren't doing it, always, always use common sense.